This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. State lawmakers voted last year to end long-term unemployment benefits. That meant North Carolina stopped accepting money from the federal government for workers who had been out of a job for 20 weeks or more. Legislators said they made the change in order to start paying down more than $2 billion the state already owed to the federal government in jobless benefits. The change also cut the maximum amount of weekly checks, and as of this month, the limit for benefits dropped from 19 weeks to 14. Proponents said the cuts would encourage unemployed workers to find jobs. Opponents said it would hurt those workers and slow down the economic recovery. And both sides say their predictions have come true. Economist Justin Wolfers disagrees. He's a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution and an economics and public policy professor at the University of Michigan. His latest column for the New York Times is called North Carolina's Misunderstood Cuts in Jobless Benefits. Justin, welcome to the State of Things.
Pleasure to be here, Phoebe.
So the basis of your article is that we're not using the right numbers to judge how North Carolina's economy is doing in comparison to other states. Tell us first, what do we use now to assess the economy?
So most people think the natural place to look for assessing the state of the labor market would be to look at the unemployment rate. And when you're trying to assess what's happening in the United States as a whole, that's exactly correct. It turns out, for a range of technical reasons, which I'm happy to get into, that's exactly the wrong thing to do at the state level.
So what should we be using?
In a more perfect world, the federal government would produce terrific state-level unemployment data and would use that. We're not in that world. So what we can do instead is look at not the effects on unemployment. We just don't have a clue what's happening there, but we can look at the effects of employment. And the claims that were made were, if we cut the benefits to the long-term unemployed, they'll get out, they look for work harder, and that, in fact, it'll make it easier for employers to hire, and as a result, they'll hire more. So the claim always was that this would increase employment.
The unemployment rate and labor force numbers, as we say, are traditional indicators of economic growth. But will you explain a little more the exact flaws of using those two indicators?
Yeah. So the standard way we measure unemployment when we're talking about the U.S. unemployment rate, which will be announced tomorrow, is we survey 60,000 households around the country and we ask them, do you have a job? And if you don't, are you looking for work? And you need a really big survey in order to be able to measure that at all accurately. The problem is we may survey 60,000 households around the U.S., but maybe we survey about 1,200 in North Carolina, of which maybe 100 people are unemployed, of which maybe only several dozen are long-term unemployed and affected by this policy change. So as a result, that unemployment rate is measured way too inaccurately. There's a huge amount of statistical noise. It just goes up and down because there really are only, you know, a few dozen long-term unemployed in the sample. So the statistics that the federal government puts out and calls the unemployment rate is not actually just the results of that survey. What they have is a really complicated statistical model which takes as inputs three things. And the first thing is the results of that very, very noisy survey. The second thing is a measure of non-farm payrolls, so a measure of employment. Now, it's obvious that employment doesn't measure unemployment. And the third thing it does is it takes a measure of the number of people currently receiving unemployment benefits. Now, this is the most problematic of all. We know for sure and for certain that when you reduce the number of people who are eligible for unemployment benefits, that the number of people getting unemployment benefits goes down. But that doesn't answer the question at all that we care about, which is what happens to those people. Do they go on and get jobs or not? And so if you measure the unemployment rate just by counting the number of people getting unemployment benefits, the single smartest thing you can do is just cut unemployment benefits. Obviously, that would reduce the measure of unemployment, but it's not necessarily going to improve people's lives at all. And so the result is that, you know, our measured state unemployment rate, I told you this is technical and boring, actually doesn't measure what we wish it measured.
So let's talk about something that's a little less boring, I guess, and talk about what we're dealing with, which is that, you know, many Republicans say that the cuts to jobless benefits are actually working to add jobs, continue to add jobs. What's wrong with that argument?
Right. So I think when we're looking at employment, we're now actually looking at a point where we have data for North Carolina. So this is an argument we can have. And in fact, over the 6 months after North Carolina eliminated unemployment benefits for the long-term unemployed, employment grew by 1.5%, which is a pretty healthy clip. And so that's the standard line that people use. The question, though, is what would have happened to the North Carolina economy if they hadn't done that? And so what we need is sort of a state that looks a lot like North Carolina but didn't cut unemployment benefits. And then we could compare North Carolina to that control group. And I think the most obvious control group would be to think about South Carolina. It's got a fairly similar industrial structure to North Carolina. And while North Carolina was cutting jobless benefits, South Carolina wasn't. Well, it turns out that over that same period that conservatives trump as being a period of terrific employment growth for North Carolina, South Carolina actually grew slightly faster. And so too did Georgia, and so did Tennessee. And so it's not enough just to say, was employment growing? You've got to say relative to what? And when you say relative to states that are similar to North Carolina, in fact, North Carolina's economy hasn't done particularly well. Hasn't done badly either. It's done round about what you'd expect.
But can you do that? Can you just say North Carolina, South Carolina, you know, apples to apples, they're the same because they're next to each other?
It's not just that they're next to each other. It's that they have a fairly similar industrial composition. And we can also look at the what's happened to employment in both North and South Carolina over the past 50 years. And the two states do tend to co-move very, very closely. So that's my defense for saying, you know, this is the best comparison that we've got. And I also want to concede it's deeply imperfect. There's no reason – we're not certain that if North Carolina hadn't cut benefits that its economy would have paralleled that of South Carolina. But that's the best bad guess that I've got. I think it beats the alternative, which is other people have said, well, employment in North Carolina grew pretty quickly – and faster than in the rest of America. Well, that is implicitly saying we should be comparing North Carolina to states that are very different. North Dakota, Alaska, Hawaii, California, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and so on. And so I think the more that we try and pinpoint more similar states, and so I think, you know, we don't just want to compare it to South Carolina. Let's compare it to Georgia. Let's compare it to Tennessee. Let's compare it to Virginia. North Carolina is not systematically overperforming the economies that are most similar to it.
Well, let's talk about North Carolina with some people sitting here in the state. Groups on the left and right have been looking to North Carolina to support different claims, as we talked about. But joining us now in the studio is John Hood. He's the president of the John Locke Foundation in North Carolina. John, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Also here is Alexander Sirota. She's the director of the Budget and Tax Center at the North Carolina Justice Center. Welcome back to you as well, Alexandra.
Thank you for having me.
John, you wrote a column for the Wall Street Journal recently that used many of the indicators Justin was just talking about. What do you think the cuts, why do you think the cuts are working? And are these indicators enough evidence to conclude that they're working?
Well, we actually don't have enough evidence from any of these data sources to make any definitive conclusions. And I also very much agree with Dr. Wolfers about the observations regarding the flaws with simply using it at month-to-month changes in the what's called the household survey or current population survey. But Dr. Wolfers also makes some choices in his comparisons that are debatable, as I think he would concede. He already did concede. One of them is that he uses for this 6-month period the quarterly census of employment and wages, not only the current employment survey. And not to get into detail, but essentially I had one of my staffers call the people who run that program and ask them what would be the best thing to do. For example, those data are not seasonally adjusted. Just you seasonally adjust them using the other tools. And what we were told is that the Bureau of Labor Statistics recommends that for periods less than a year, you go ahead and use the payroll survey, the current employment statistics, even though it's a sample and not a full count because the seasonal adjustment is not exactly the same and because the data from the quarterly census are preliminary. They've not been cross-checked the way the sample has been for transcription errors and other things. Now, again, you can go either way on this. But the main thing I want to argue is that while there are challenges with using the household survey, the unemployment statistics, there are some questions that it is giving you answers to that the employment trends from the other survey simply can't answer. For one thing, when we say that these other sets of data cover employment, they actually don't cover all employment. They cover about 90% of employment. Self-employment, for example, is not in. It's not at all measured in the payroll survey or the quarterly census, but it is going to be measured in that imperfect household survey. And that's important because lots of people, when they lose access to unemployment insurance, I mean, I had a neighbor who did this recently, lost access to long-term benefits, hadn't been able to find a job, and then went and started his own business, that wouldn't show up. And similarly, if you've got a labor market has lots of people who might work across state lines, one of the potential effects of unemployment benefits or the lack of unemployment benefits is you might have somebody maybe not go self-employed, but maybe cross the border and get a job nearby that's in a different state. The household survey will tell you whether that person is employed or not, regardless of where the job is located. So there, what I would argue for is looking at a variety of different statistics and not just one.
Alexander, what do you think?
Well, I think this is a great discussion and an important one. So many North Carolinians are struggling to find work in an economy that still is creating too few jobs. And I think that's the bottom line in North Carolina. We face a significant jobs deficit. Yes, we have been creating jobs, but it's not enough to meet the needs of everyday North Carolinians. I want to argue that one of the comparisons we can make is to our own self as North Carolina. Our past performance in recessions has been much better. We've recovered jobs much faster. And so what we're seeing is really on par with, as Dr. Wolfers argues, our southern neighbors and on par with the national recovery. Nothing special related to the policy decisions that have been made has driven greater employment growth in North Carolina. And that means too many North Carolina workers are struggling to find work, and we face a very significant jobs deficit in our state.
Justin Wolfers, do you think that past performance is reliable?
I'm not quite sure I understand the question.
I mean, do you think that we can look to see what has happened in the past, look at recessions and such, and say, oh, we'll use this as a marker?
Yeah, I think that's, there's a lot of different ways of trying to think about what would have happened in North Carolina if we hadn't gone ahead with cutting benefits. And so looking at the past is one way. I'm not sure it's necessarily the most convincing because a lot of stuff changes through time. Mm. I think, the way I'd sort of summarize the extent of the evidence is there's a lot that John and I agree on, but he frames it slightly differently than me, which is when you look at a broad array of indicators, there's no evidence that North Carolina is doing any better today than its southern neighbors or than you would expect given its history. And then John just went on and said, well, I wish there was a bunch of other labor statistics that could measure a whole bunch of other things because I'm sure that maybe if we could look at those, there might be some differences. I wish that too. I don't know what those other statistics would say. But the data we have, all of these technical issues you can in some sense put to the side and just say, North Carolina doesn't look like it's doing better than South Carolina. It doesn't look like it's doing better than Georgia. It doesn't look like it's doing better than Tennessee. It doesn't look like it's doing better than what it's doing in the past. There's nothing particularly spectacular about the performance of the North Carolina economy. And in some sense, I think this actually misses the most important point, which Alexander was getting at. What this tells us is either having benefits for the long-term unemployed or not having them doesn't have major macroeconomic consequences. The real debate about unemployment insurance is not about its macroeconomic consequences. It's about do we help people out when they're down. Mm-hmm. It's about making sure that some people don't shoulder an unbearable part of the burden when the economy's in a bad way.
Well, Justin, let me interrupt and speak. John, that's something I wanted to talk to you about. We're talking about numbers and indicators and what this means in a big sense for North Carolina economy. But what about the argument that when you cut unemployment benefits, you do compromise the ability for everyday jobless workers to find the money to buy groceries, rent, XYZ? What do you say to that?
Well, there are two things. First of all, Dr. Wolfers and I do agree on some general parameters. We don't even agree about the evidence, though. The only set of evidence that suggests that North Carolina is not doing better than the regional average is the quarterly census. The payroll data show otherwise.
That's not true, John.
I'm looking at them right now. The average increase for North Carolina over the six-month period was 1.5. The average increase in the region was 1.1.
The average increase in South Carolina was 1.6.
Yes. Well, Tennessee is actually
1.6 is greater than 1.5.
If you want to get into the details, I've also talked to economists who argue that you shouldn't compare, pick out one frame of reference. You should use several because we don't know, as you say, we don't know other things that may explain the difference between North and South Carolina. If we look at a regional average or a set of regional metrics, we're in better shape. The other thing I want to make the point is the household survey does provide better data on the questions that I'm asking. I didn't throw out questions that don't have answers. They do have answers. The Bureau of Labor Statistics does a set of labor market data on a 12-month rolling average They do allow you to look at self-employment as effects and cross-border effects. That's what they're for. And they show that North Carolina had the largest drop in unemployment in the nation during this period.
Good. I'm gonna let Alexander respond. And then I would like to get back to just this very simple question.
Well, that's where I think I want to go, because I think ultimately, you know, what is happening to jobless workers in this state is a really challenging labor market. And I think we have to admit that. And first, too many folks who received unemployment insurance, the changes that happened last year, have had a very harmful effect on their lives. We know, we talk to people, I know John just mentioned he knows folks. We all know folks in North Carolina who have lost jobs, who continue day after day to look for work and can't find a job. And that means, as you mentioned, when they did have unemployment insurance, they had some modest temporary support for their basic needs. With the cuts that went into effect last year, we see folks with fewer weeks available, 14 weeks of unemployment insurance, when the average time it takes for someone on unemployment insurance to get a job is 17, $300 less a month on average. Those have very real impacts on a family's ability to make ends meet, to continue to search for work, and to continue to stay engaged in a labor market that we need to be healthy and strong.
We're talking about unemployment benefits. You're listening to The State of Things. So we are going back and forth, and I think the thing here that we're kind of going around is, given that these stats do vary, we are arguing about what are the right stats. How do we make policy decisions? John Hood?
Well, it's tough. It's tough on a variety of issues, education, any issue that you look at, certainly at the state level that we, Alexandra and I both work on, you don't have consensus about what the data tell you, what causes what. Some conservatives greatly exaggerate the effects of, for example, tax cuts, because they observe that states have strong economies and they also have low taxes, and therefore the low taxes may be causing the strong economies. When, of course, if you have a stronger economy and revenues coming in, empirically, you're more likely to see politicians cut taxes. So there's all sorts of complexities here. What I would argue about unemployment insurance is that if you want a long-term public assistance program, this isn't the one for you. This is designed to be temporary. It was originally designed to be temporary. In fact, it is intentionally designed to discourage people from immediately taking the job that might first present itself and take a little bit of time and search. That's actually an intentional part of the program. But at some point, some argue that becomes a negative instead of a positive. And if you want to have long-term assistance for people who simply can't find any work anywhere else, you need to do it in a place other than unemployment insurance.
I would just say that I think when we're making policy decisions, we need to seek balance. And what we know from the unemployment insurance cuts that have happened is that they were out of balance. They asked far more from jobless workers to pay down the debt than they asked from employers. And that's a problem when we want to achieve a system that over the long term can be forward financed, can sustain the economy and support the economy and jobless workers. So I think, you know, policymakers need to look both at the economic impacts, they need to look at the human impacts, but they also need to seek balance, and they need to seek a policy proposal that doesn't ask more from one group over another.
Justin Wolfers, I only have a couple of seconds left, but do you think it's too early to tell how unemployment cuts have affected North Carolina, or if they've had any effect at all, just to sum it all up?
I think the balance of the evidence is that they've really had almost no effect on North Carolina's macro economy. Now, if instead you go and talk to the unemployed who are having to get by without any public assistance, without unemployment insurance, you'd hear a very, very different story. And I think values are a big part of how you evaluate that part of the evidence.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. Justin Wolfers is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a professor of economics and public policy at the University of Michigan. His latest column for the New York Times is called North Carolina's Misunderstood Cut in Jobless Benefits. Find a link on our website, stateofthings.org. John Hood is the president of the John Locke Foundation. And Alexandra Sirota is director of the Budget and Tax Center at the North Carolina Justice Center. Thank you all very much for being on the program.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
Just ahead, a memoir about a type 1 diabetic with a sweet tooth. Stay tuned.